giấc mơ. For thee, O the fount of sin, I reserve my gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee forever, the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is mine.
Amen. All righty. Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, we will start with prayer. And please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us and bringing us together. And we ask that you please allow your Holy Spirit to please bridle my tongue and to please allow the truth to be uplifted and that the Godhead is glorified and that we are strengthened and made to continue to move forward in our walks, growing in Christ Jesus each and every single day. Thank you for blessing us with the Holy Sabbath and for blessing the prayers that are in the room and all that are in the minds and hearts of your people. And it is with the help of your Holy Spirit that we pray for all of these things. And in Jesus' mighty and precious name that we pray. Amen. All righty. Let's have blessings, everyone. Today, the sermon title is entitled One Body. So I'm going to put the link in the room so you can follow along with the notes. Okay. Yeah, it's giving me an issue. There we go. Alrighty. following along on the notes page. Alrighty. So, we're going to start. And so, the Apostle Paul, to the Ephesians, wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And so our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ our Savior, has called us to be perfect as they are perfect. There was not a taint of sin that could be found in His character. And having exchanged our filthy garments for the garments of Christ's righteousness, it behooves us to be as He is. Among His holy characteristics may be found that of lowliness, or humility. Meekness, for when Christ walked the earth, He learned things as a man would have to learn them. And so, as you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, we also have to study the Bible and hear the truth and learn the truth and even listen to that which the Lord puts on the minds and hearts of His people. There is also long-suffering and forbearance. And we know that Christ exercised great patience with man when He walked this earth, and towards those who were erring individuals. Now, these character traits, if they're cherished by believers, would prevent pride from taking root in the hearts, and would be the means through which the unity would be kept among the body of believers. We are to be unified as one, as there is only one body of Christians, one Holy Spirit, one Jesus Christ, and one God the Father. There is only one faith, not many faiths. And therefore, the body of Christians in the world that are divided into so many innumerable faiths, so many divisions, cannot be the body of Christ, because Christ is not divided. Therefore, even among ourselves, we should not let ourselves be divided into numerous different groups, one thinking one thing, another group thinking another thing. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, that only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Sorry, give me a moment. I think it might be, even though the link is in the room, it might be helpful to put the verses in the room in case somebody can't get to the link. Okay, so yeah, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So contention, which is defined as a quarrel and translated also as debate and strife, comes through pride. See, pride accepts no corrections. Pride is not humble. It's not teachable. It's not patient. And when the character trait of pride begins to take root in the heart, it only brings forth strife among the believers, which is determined to separate the believers one from another. And so we could see this in the world, where there are so many individuals and so many churches that have pride in their creeds, pride in their false doctrines, but they will not humble these things, or will not put down these things, to stand by what the scriptures say. Let us not be as them. We are not to be separated and divided as they are, but unified as one body in Christ. Therefore, they which have in their heart that desire to separate themselves from their brethren ought to consider their course. The Apostle Paul says this to the believers in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 4. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now the word soberly here is Strong's number Greek number 4993. It means simply just to be of a sound mind, just to think sanely. And so a person who is of a sound mind, thinking sanely, thinking in accordance with the truth, will not be led to think of himself or herself more highly than they ought to think. A man who is of God, or a woman who is of God, will know that alone he or she is not anything. And that without God, we are nothing. Now, the human body has many different parts to it, or many different members, as it says in the scriptures. When we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 to 17, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And so a perfect body has all of its parts working properly together in harmony. The hand will do its own work. The eyes will do their work. The feet will do their work. The brain will do its work, etc. But let's say that a man loses his hand, yet he is still able to live on. Is this man useless or dead? Well, he's certainly not dead. And while he loses functionality, he certainly isn't useless. But this is as a Christian body without all of its functioning body parts. It may not be dead. But when one part of the body isn't doing its necessary function, then the whole body suffers. So then, brethren, we have a duty not only to ourselves and to to those who we go out and share the truth to, our neighbors, but we have a duty to each other as well. As brethren, to remain faithful to God, that we rob not God and our neighbors of the good which is due unto them. Each part of the body must take up its specified work as God has decided. But let's say then some man takes the scriptures and realizes that they have some blessing and they say, well, then this church cannot progress without me. And so then he begins a work to do of lifting himself up over his brethren. So let's consider, let's say the foot of the body should raise itself up against the hand. Will the foot of the body do both the work of the hand and of the foot? Can the foot do the hand's work better than the hand can? When people lose their hands, for example, if you consider just the natural body, they somewhat learn how to do things with the feet. And so it may appear to some, well, I can do the duty of this brother or of this sister. But this is merely an appearance, because if the foot is needed to do the work of the walking, the body has a greater difficulty moving forward, because the foot is too caught up in its pride doing the work of another body part. Or let's say a body part is slothful and not doing its work, forcing the other body parts to step in to try to help. This is not efficient for the church body. Every individual member is to be doing their individual duties as God has given unto them. For the individual, for example, who's caught up in pride thinking they can do the work of their brother or sister better than they, though they have ordained to do that duty, that individual member is but hindering the forward progression of the church. If a man, brother or sister, thinks that he can do the work better than those whom God has ordained to do, they must turn and remind themselves of this scripture, which says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." But now we will look at the truth of this matter and pay close attention to what I'm saying. Each one of us personally is not needed. I emphasize the importance of the word personally because God does use people to get his duties done in this world. But just as soon as we fail our duties is just as soon as God can raise up another in our place. Therefore, there is not a single one of us who is personally needed for the perfecting of the body of Christ. Rather, it is the gifts of God's grace that dwells in each and every single one of us which is needed for the perfecting of the saints. And if we're not doing that duty, then how can the saints be perfected? The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." If we by ourselves could bring about the perfection of the saints, then God would not have given us the gifts which could be used to the perfecting of the saints. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are needed to bring about this perfection in Jesus Christ that we all strive unto. But just as soon as a man or a woman feels self-sufficient, they are not doing the work of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit would have them do. He thinks he can do another work. He or she thinks they can do another work, which the Holy Spirit has not given unto them, better than someone who has been gifted that. And so in such a case, the individual thinks they're better than God. Such a brother or sister is not needed in the faith. And as an active hindrance, slowing down the forward progress of the saints, because the foot thinketh it can do the work of the hand better than the hand. To those who get caught up in pride, it is well to remember that God can just as easily pour out his Spirit upon little children to speak divine words, if it's necessary. Now, is the desire to do a specific work considered sin? Well, no. It's not technically a sin to do a specific work. It just depends on how you desire to do it. For example, if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." So there's no condemnation for those individuals who, you know, some individuals do desire that kind of office. They desire the office of a bishop because it is a good work. But it must be first proven that God hath chosen such an individual out for that specific office. among the qualifications that are all listed, there is one that I think is particularly important to go over, which is in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." Novice in Strong's Greek number 3504 means a new convert or someone who's newly planted. And so what happens when the novice begins to be entrusted with the flock? Well, having not already had an experience of high things of God, that individual begins to lift themselves up in pride. And thus they fall into the condemnation of the devil. This portion of the body just starts thinking of itself, "I have no need of the others. I will be the one who will get this done." Instead of each and every single individual member of the body going about and doing their own work. There is even an example that comes to mind now of when, in times past, when an individual tried to take another individual's work from them and tried to blame that individual who is clearly doing their job for the lack of growth within the church family. The lack of growth happens when members fail to do their own duty. It is true that we are not a large people. It is true that we are not large in number. But if we are always faithful to our duties and we are always faithful to our trust, you're going to see people wake up. Even if it's so that they may eventually walk away. As even I have seen such things, even personally, my own self, that sometimes you share truth with people and they may be very well blessed with the truth and the Lord leads them and they even may stand and join among the individuals, among the church body, only to eventually at some point walk away. Continue to do your duty, even if you watch individuals turn their back. But let us look to ourselves to be sure that we are not the reason why such individuals turn back. Now, an individual who lifts themselves up in pride and thinks they can do the job better than those whom God has ordained to do specific duties ought to take notice of what is written in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. It says here, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now, who among the children of Israel could have had a higher position than Moses? And yet, of all the individuals, he was the most meek, the most teachable. He had the most teachable spirit. And so it gives here what is written in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. "A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." The wise individual, the individual who is truly wise, is not necessarily an individual who thinks they know everything. A wise individual is an individual who, having understood that they understand some small portion of the truth, obey it, and are still able to listen to gain more and more wisdom. For we are men and not God. And therefore, we know that our knowledge shall increase for all eternity, and yet never equaling the knowledge of God. And so there are very many gifts. The ones that were named in Ephesians chapter 4, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Now, there may be some who among the body who feel as if they're useless, because they look at such a list and they go, well, I'm not an apostle or a prophet or an evangelist, a pastor or a teacher, therefore I can't be blessed. I can't be of the body of Christ. Well, to that individual I say, well, as a whole, Christians have largely lost the manifestation of these gifts through disobedience to God. But then shall we say then that the whole host of real believers who manifest not these such specific gifts were not true and sincere Christians and not part of the body? Especially when we think of things throughout history. Of course they were part of the body. And so those individuals who feel as if they have nothing to offer, it does well for that individual to consider, are you studying your Bible? Are you praying daily? And by studying, are you studying daily? Are you sharing your faith with others? Because if you're doing these things, then you're not useless. You're doing your specified duty. So what if it seems as if to you that you are nothing but a cell in the church, a cell upon the body? Greater is it to have a thought process that you are a cell upon the body than for you to think you are the head and controlling matters and think that you can do things better than others. It is better, far better, to have a sense of humility rather than a sense of pride. Think not that you have nothing to do. Take note of the fact of your mistakes where you have fallen and made mistakes, but continue on forward and do your duty. Let not an excuse come out of your mouth that prevents you from doing the work which you are called to do. Because again, all parts of the body has its duty. What if the foot should say, well, because I am not the eye, I really don't have that much of a duty, and the foot, the muscles of the foot should cease to work. And so even though in the eyes or the understanding of the foot, it should think itself to be useless because, well, I'm not this. I don't really do as much work as the hand does. Or I don't have as much of a duty as the hand does. The body still suffers because the foot ceases to do its duty. So no matter if you feel as if your duty is small, praise be to God. Praise His name that He has given you a duty to do, and praise His name that you are able to partake of the duty, even if it seemeth ever so small to you. Again, better to have a sense of humility in regards to your duty than to be uplifted in a sense of pride. It is God's desire to fill His people with His blessings, His goodness, and His gifts. Every single one of us has a purpose as is ordained by God. He gives the duty, and He does not exempt any one of us from partaking in a work which will lead us and others to complete perfection in Jesus Christ. Now, a brother or sister may not, at this current point, be fully in proportion of the gift which they shall be ordained to do. What you can be tomorrow, you know not today. Worry only for today. If there is more that needs to be revealed to you, God will reveal it. Therefore, obey God. Do what is before you, and He will give you more. If we walk faithfully, even if we're not exactly certain of what our specific talents are, God will just soon make it apparent just what it is that He would have us do. He will make it apparent to us just what it is He has ordained us to do in the positions in which we are in. Now, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 to 28, Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some of the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And so right off the bat, you might be able to notice, hey, this list is somewhat different than that which is listed in Ephesians, and indeed it is. For there are even here mentioned just the miracle workers, and then those who also do the gifts of healing. And then there is those who offer helps. And then there is those for governments. And then there are those who speak in tongues. The word helps is Strong's number Greek 484, which means relief. And therefore, some are actually sent into the church to be able to relieve their brethren, whether it be temporal or spiritually. You see, we all have duties, and we all have gifts, and we all have goods which are given to us from God. Consider even your temporal blessings, and consider the fact that you might not be able to speak as well as others. But if that's not your duty, then that's not your duty. And that's okay. Because God has given the gifts of grace to each and every single one of us, and these gifts are needed. And God has entrusted each and every single one of us with gifts to be able to be used for the furtherance and the perfection of the body of Christ, and for even bringing in members into the flock. We all have a duty. We all have a purpose that God has given unto us. And if we would obey this duty and this purpose, then we would understand what it means to take joy in our salvation. For who can joy in their salvation, knowing that they are neglecting known duties that the Lord has given unto them to do? Such individuals may find joy, but then they would cease to find joy in their salvation, and instead find joy in the things of the world. Now, Romans chapter 12, verses 5 to 8 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." Notice how he's mentioning these things as different gifts according to the grace that is given unto us. And he mentions that some are specific in ministry, but then he also says, those who give, let them do it with simplicity. But one that I also find interesting, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Because there is no obvious connection when it comes to showing mercy to one specific duty in the church. But rather, everyone is called to be merciful. So is being merciful a gift? Is not this great salvation which God has given unto us a gift of his gracious mercy? And so having mercy and giving mercy to others is a great gift to bestow upon them. And those who are rich in mercy will be richly blessed by God. This is one of the most important graces needed by the Christian. For if we are unmerciful unto others, God will not be merciful to us. All can partake of this duty. And some have a greater duty as well to give better than others. Again, those are the gifts that come from God. And so every member of the body has their own duty. You even have those who are least esteemed in the church, or not highly thought of. Highly positioned, I should say. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye, have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." Again, you could feel yourself as a tiny cell in the human body, and yet realize that not even something as small as the human cell is useless. God has set certain duties, even them that are least esteemed here, to judge matters in the church. Everyone has his or her own work, and we are not to overtake the duties of others, but we are to do the duty which we have been ordained to do in the very positions of life that God has ordained each and every single one of us to do them in. And so the question is, have you been called being a nurse? Continue in it. Care not for it. Are you a welder? Continue to weld. Are you called as a policeman or firefighter? Continue onwards. Or what if you feel, well, here I am as a waitress. Care not for it. Are you a garbage collector? Continue to do the duty that so many individuals would fail to do, that they could not do, because it's looked down upon to clean up the garbage, as if the individuals who are cleaning the garbage are garbage. Care not for it. Someone has to do it. And if God calls you, in whatever post you're at in your life, to work for the flock, to labor for the flock, be not high-minded, but get more diligent in your studies. Gain strength from God through prayer. And then you will be qualified with all humility of mind to do the duty which God has ordained you to do. To the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 to 7, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you in Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so, as the Apostle Paul wrote, it's clearly the desire of God that we come behind in no gift, but that the church shall be as a whole a manifestation of the abundant grace in the glory of God. Not the uplifting of ourselves, but the uplifting of God. When you think about every single member and every single gift which is contained in each and every single one of us, it is a manifestation of the glory of God, which is our design, which is our duty. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as the scripture says in another area, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, that the Lord may inhabit us, that the Lord may use us to bless others with his great goodness in the richness of his mercy, in the richness of his perfect gifts. Therefore, let us all move forward from today, always behaving and acting as one body, every member caring one for another, rejoicing with those who rejoice, sorrowing with those who sorrow, and working together, especially with all humility and lowliness of mind. I mean, consider the fact that the body works better together than independently. You know, if the hand were literally by itself, well, it's not going to move because the brain's not connected to it. And if the lower torso of the body is not there, it's going to be a problem moving at all, because then the hands have to do a duty that the feet, you know, and the legs are not there to do. Therefore, it's better for us to work together in harmony and unity with one another. And again, with all humility and all lowliness of mind, until we all come into the perfection that is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that perfect standard. And so, brethren, may God bless each and every single one of us to do the duties, a greater understanding of our duties, more grace, more richness, and more unity than we have ever had before. God bless. Sabbath blessings. And the next thing you will hear is the music, and then we'll close with prayer.
God, make and hold me each and every day. 'Cause God, I wanna be all you created me to be. Lord, I long to walk in your way. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Have made me, you have formed me in that place. Give me understanding to learn all your commands. 'Cause God, I wanna be all you created me to be. Lord, I long to walk in your. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And oh, my God is dancing over me, for me he sees his sign. And oh, my God is singing over me, for me he's well pleased. For I want you to be all I've created you to be. So come on in and walk my way. For my word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. 'Cause God, I wanna be all you created me to be. Lord, I long to walk in your way. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And oh, my God is dancing over me, for me he sees his son. And oh, my God is singing over me, for me he's well pleased. 'Cause God, I wanna be all you created me to be. Lord, I long to walk in your way. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
Amen. Alrighty. If you can, please kneel, and we'll close in prayer. Hopefully I didn't miss something. And please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with the truth and helping us to continue to grow and to be able to even present the truth before people. And that is definitely your hand and your gifts. And so we ask that you please bless us all, that we all can see you working in our lives, that we can gain more faith to trust in your work and entirely rely upon you, that we all may grow up unto perfection. All doing our duties. Father, we lift up to you all the prayers that are in the room, all our minds and hearts of your people, and we ask that please bless also the upcoming study that's getting ready to happen with Steps to Christ. Thank you for every single blessing that you've granted us, that you've given to us because you love us. And so, Father, it is with the help of your Holy Spirit that we pray for these things, and in Jesus' mighty and precious name that we pray. Amen.